Andy, I want to take you back to the 1970s, specifically the Brandon Olympics of the old CSHL, the Central Senior Hockey League. That's where your playing career came to an end. When did you know that you weren't going to make it as a hockey player and you had to take a different avenue?
Well, I don't think you ever believe that you won't make it as a hockey player. You just move to a different league and a slower league and whatever it takes. So I think all the guys that are playing old-timers still love playing the game. But, you know, to me, actually coaching was something that I really never gave a great deal of thought to. And my uncle asked me to get involved with the Weekings organization, where he was one of the owners, to coach their team in the Manitoba Junior League. And they had wanted to replace their present coach. And I came in never having coached before, and all of a sudden I was a hockey coach. So I apologize to all those players that played for me in those early years, but it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it. I learned a great deal, obviously.
Well, that leads me to my next question, and if my research is correct, your first coaching job was with the Brandon Travelers. Is that right?
It was. They were a team in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League at that time, and we're basically an affiliate team of the Weekings, and a lot of great players came through our team and went on to play for the Weekings, and obviously a number of them went on to play in the National Hockey League as well, too. So it was a well-run program, and the Weekings still have a great organization, and at that time they felt they needed their own affiliate team, so they ran a team in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League.
And then after your time with the Travelers and the Weekings, it was off to Brandon University to be a Bobcat, the head coach of the Brandon Bobcats. What was the Canadian college game like at that point?
Well, I think it's the Canadian college game is still a great game. I think it's one of the most underestimated levels of hockey that we have here in North America. And it's a great product and a great game. And, I had the good fortune to coach a lot of great players there, and with that came a degree of success that allowed me to get opportunities down the road in coaching. So it's a high level of hockey, Canadian University, and at that time we had good players and good teams in Brandon and some great rivalries with the University of Manitoba, and at that time the University of Winnipeg had a college program as well too, so the Western. So it was quality hockey, good players, and certainly they took it very seriously, as they do now.
After your time in Brandon, you decided it was time to sort of expand your horizons, and you were sort of unique in that you went overseas at that point. Nowadays, we hear about it all the time. There's lots of coaches, former NHL coaches, who go overseas. Mike Keenan comes to mind, of course. And you're now, so you headed overseas. What made you make that decision at that point?
Well, there were some professional opportunities over here that had come up, and at that time, we in the early 80s, we were learning a great deal from exposure to the European teams coming over, and we obviously had a lot of great games against the Russians and so on when they came over. So, and I just felt to expand my horizons as a coach and to learn something different, that it might be a good way to go. So I went over there with the idea of going on a one-year leave of absence from Brandon University, and ended up staying 8 years. So it was a great experience, being able to learn other languages and to experience a different culture. The hockey part was real good, but more than anything else, it was just a lifetime experience that afforded you in doing that. So I think it made me a better coach. I was over there in a country where I didn't speak the language and had to somehow get the message across, and really enjoyed it, and I think it really helped me in terms of helping establish a foundation in coaching.
Do you find your experiences over in Europe, you still sort of harken back on them when you talk about teaching a new group of hockey players in this day and age?
I think in Europe there, you're there by yourself. The GM of the pro teams and so on, they leave you alone, and you're responsible for recruiting players and doing everything. So much similar to what I'm doing here now at the Division I level in the U.S., but no, it was a great experience, and seeing how other coaches conducted themselves, the way they played over there, and trying to take the best from their game and then integrate some of the things that make us truly unique here in North America. So it was a great experience for myself and our family.
You said you came back after 8 years in Europe, if I recall correctly, and what brought you back is a job with the Hershey Bears in the AHL. How did that come to be?
Well, John Paddock, was a friend for a number of years from southwestern Manitoba. I'm from Souris, Manitoba, and John was from Oak River. So we had a relationship, and John used to skate. I ran a camp for pro players in the summer when John was playing pro hockey in the Flyers organization for the Flyers. He used to skate in the summers, and we developed a relationship there. And he asked me at the end of my seasons in Switzerland if I would come over and help him out in Hershey. So I came over 2 years in a row once my season was done in Switzerland and helped out with the Hershey Bears. And we were fortunate enough that John took them to the Calder Cup Championship the 1 year. And the next year, Philadelphia Flyers were looking for an assistant coach. And I got to meet Bob Clark and Paul Holmgren through that experience in Hershey. And Bob asked me if I'd be interested in coming back. So I came back and joined the Flyers organization. It was certainly the exposure to Hershey that allowed that to happen as well.
You mentioned Paul Holmgren. He was, of course, the head coach of that Flyers team. And one of your fellow assistant coaches is a current competitor of yours in the NCAA. That's Mike Eaves. What did you learn from both Paul Holmgren and Mike Eaves? And are you still in touch with both of them?
Yes, I am. I mean, Mike is, you know, our families became close friends, and his sons and my sons have played together on various teams and on at World Junior Tournament and so on. So there's a relationship there. And Paul, you know, we certainly, whenever he's in town scouting players or evaluating players, we have a chance to interact there. So, you know, whoever you work with in this business, you try to absorb as much as you possibly can and share you know, information. And it was a great experience. I mean, Paul was obviously an intimidating physical player who just played with so much passion. And Mike was a skilled player, as a player in the National Hockey League, and had a unique perspective on the game as well, and does a tremendous job at the University of Wisconsin. And actually, I had a son, one of my sons went and played for Mike at Wisconsin. We had that kind of a relationship.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Andy Murray, currently head coach of the Western Michigan Broncos of the NCAA, talking about his career in hockey. Andy, after your time in Philly, you started heading a little bit north, not too far from Winnipeg. You went to Minnesota under Bob Gainey. Bob Gainey was over there as well. What can you tell our listeners about Bob Gainey as a coach and as a person?
Well, you know, I went from Philadelphia to Minnesota. Bob Clark went from the Flyers organization to Minnesota and asked me if I would and come and join him as one of the coaches there. And, you know, I had the good fortune to work with Bob Gainey and Doug Jarvis, two icons in the Montreal Canadiens organization during their playing days. And, you know, Bob he was a solid, honest, highly competitive player, and he was the same thing as a head coach and a GM, and treats everybody with respect, and, you know, expects people to do the right thing all the time, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. So learned a great deal from Bob and certainly from Doug. And, you know, Bob's style was one where, you know, he was pretty black and white and had a thorough understanding of the game and the way that it should operate. And I can remember being in meetings and we have different coaches and scouts, and they'd be all throwing a whole bunch of different ideas out as to what could help our team and what we needed to do, and have all these complicated theories and everything like that. And Bob would simply say, well, why don't we do it this way? And it would be pretty basic, but it was usually the right answer. So, you know, he was an honest player, and that's the way he operated as a coach and a GM.
Andy Murray is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You mentioned John Paddock. We've talked about Bobby Clark. Sort of the Philadelphia to Winnipeg ties are well documented, and they came full circle when you eventually returned to Winnipeg as the assistant coach under John Paddock for the Jets for 2 seasons. What did that mean to you coming home? You mentioned you're from Souris, Manitoba. What did that mean to you coming to coach for the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, you know, I think growing up in Manitoba, you always identify with hockey in the province, and it was, you know, a special opportunity for me to come up and for my family to come back to Manitoba and to be in Winnipeg and renew acquaintances and also meet so many other quality Manitobans. So I really enjoyed it, enjoyed working with John there, and you know, certainly to build a coach in one's home province and be close to Souris and my friends in the Westman area. It was great having, you know, my friends bring their kids into practices and been able to walk through the dressing room on a regular basis. I hadn't really been able to do much of that in Philadelphia and Minnesota, so it was kind of neat to share that experience. And there's nothing better or more gratifying in a job in the National Hockey League than when you bring a young boy into the dressing room and you look at their eyes as they're walking around and they're seeing the names of the Solani and Tkachuk and all these guys, and they're sitting down getting their picture taken in a stall. That probably made me feel as good about the profession as anything else that I ever did in the game.
Andy Murray's our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN 1290. Andy, you finally got the chance for the first time since your days with the Brandon Travelers to be a head coach, and that's with the Los Angeles Kings. What was the biggest difference between being a head man and an assistant?
Well, not to correct you, but I was a head coach in Switzerland.
I apologize. I meant in North America.
For 8 years, and then I was a head coach in Switzerland in the Spangler Cups. I coached Team Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And actually coached Team Canada World Championships as a head coach there before I got
the job. We're going to get to your international career. That's a long, lengthy one as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing. You've got all these stats, because I thought it was only going to be about 20 minutes. You're going to need about an hour and a half there. Certainly the international game and having the chance to coach Canada, it doesn't get any better than that. But, the chance to coach the LA Kings, and I'd coached Rob Blake and Glenn Murray and a number of other players on the LA Kings during my time with Team Canada at World Championships. So, you know, when the Kings offered the opportunity, it was exciting to have that chance. And, you know, I think probably the best day as a National Hockey League is the day when they tell you that they'd like to have you and you get that opportunity to be a coach. It's really special. But, you know, other than that, you know, coaching the NHL is just the same as coaching any other team at any other level. You just try to communicate with your players. You set expectations and you try to be demanding but not demeaning with your players. And, you know, you just push them as much as you can, because, you know, the saying that, oh, you want the best from them because it's the best for them. So, I thoroughly enjoyed my opportunity in L.A. and was a long-tenured coach there, spent a lot of years there, and really enjoyed it.
You mentioned your international career, and we have to talk about that because it's probably the most extensive or one of the most extensive coaching careers internationally in the world. Three world championships, many Spangler Cup championships. You've coached in the Olympics. You're in the IIHF Hall of Fame. Sort of a two-part question. What's your favorite part of the international game, and what's your most memorable international moment?
Well, they're one and the same. It would be, you kind of get emotional when you even think about it. But when you're representing your country in a competition, and whether it's at a world championship in Finland, where we won twice, or in Moscow in 2007 when we won the last gold medal, just seeing the players celebrating on the blue line and singing the national anthem, and then, you know, the ability to call my mother while I was on the ice, and the players were celebrating, and just to share that with her and thinking about, you know, how proud she was of that moment and how it made her feel, and everybody back in Syracuse there, that was the best moment. Thinking my dad was a passionate hockey person, and just think what it would mean to him to be part of that experience. I just felt so lucky, and, I know there's so many other people that could have been doing and have done what I did, and I was very, very grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, whenever I coached at any level, whether it was National Hockey League or with Team Canada or wherever, it was always with the mindset that I got a lot of friends and family back home in Manitoba that I don't want to let down. And for me to have that opportunity was truly unique. So, you know, just more than anything, it's when somebody's singing your national anthem and you see it being raised up and somebody's putting a gold medal around your neck, it's pretty special.
Having coached both amateurs, you know, at the Olympics and internationally, and having coached pro in the NHL, do you think that the NHL professionals belong in the Olympics, or do you think that they're sort of missing something from when it was a much more amateur Olympic tournament?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not that old. The guys I coached in the Olympics were NHLers, so You know, I think, I mean, there's no question about it. Whenever you put that jersey on, it truly means something special. And, you know, at the Olympics or World Championships or even Spangler Cup, those guys are all pros that play in that as well. And, you know, they're not really getting paid to play in it, but what they're getting is the opportunity to wear the jersey, and it's really special. And again, it's the same type of thing. It's, you know, when you're an NHL coach and you've been selected to coach Team Canada at the World Championships at the end of a long NHL season, you know, and you've got a lot of players that could say no or deny the opportunity to go. And I'm sure there's some players that have come up with a lot of different excuses and injuries not to go and represent their country. But, you know, I can remember calling a lot of guys. You call Joe Sakic or you call Rob Blake or guys of that ilk, and you ask them to if they would be interested in coming to play for their country, and they say, I'll be there. That's really a special feeling because you know what these guys have gone through in the regular season and, you know, how tired and fatigued they are, but yet they're prepared to hop in a plane and go halfway across the world to represent their country. So the pros care. They play with a lot of passion. And, you know, everybody's telling me that it must be great to coach college players who play for the fun of it and really are passionate about the game, and as if to say that NHL players aren't. I mean, I've never met an NHL player that didn't want to play as hard as he possibly could, didn't want to, you know, go out there every night and give his best. The problem is with the NHL schedule the way that it is, it's just not possible every night. There isn't a night that an NHL player plays a game where he's not fatigued or he's not banged up in some way. And certainly they're really compensated extremely well for doing what they're doing. But I would never let anybody tell me that NHL players don't care and don't have passion for the game, because they really do.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our guest is Andy Murray, head coach of the Western Michigan Broncos. And Andy, we got to talk about the Western Michigan Broncos now. You know, how different is the NCAA experience from all your other coaching experiences, NHL, overseas, Olympic, everything else?
You know, it's to be quite honest with you, it's really a time-consuming job. It's 12 months of the year in terms of recruiting, taking care of things academically for your players and so on. So it's really a time-consuming job. It's not just the hockey part. I mean, you're a parent. You're taking care of these kids while their parents aren't there, and so you're concerned about their off-ice activities and how they're performing academically. But it's a high level of hockey. You know, we've been fortunate to have a lot of players go through our system, sign pro contracts. We had 8 of our 9 players 2 years ago signed pro contracts. All 4 of our players who graduated last year signed pro contracts. So it's a high level of hockey. We pack our arena up for every game. Our fans line up. Our students line up at about 3:30 for a 7 o'clock game so they can get into them. And they were voted the best student section in college hockey. And when people come to play here at Western, they really get an appreciation for that. So it's been a great experience. I would never, ever say that one level of a game have I enjoyed more than the other, because that would be a discredit and a disservice to the players that have played for me at all the different levels, whether it was in the Manitoba Junior or with Brandon University, Europe, or whatever. So I would never, ever compare that. I would just say that, the ability to coach the game and not to have a real job is really unique and special, and I'm very, very fortunate to have had these opportunities. I mean, that somebody would want to hire me for the college level here when there's so many great young coaches out there was gratifying in itself. So I've enjoyed it.
Andy, I'll let you go on this last question. Here in Canada, there's, I don't want to say arrogance, but maybe, you know, there's a perception that the Canadian Hockey League is superior to the NCAA. You know, the pipeline seemed to be changing a little bit. A lot more Canadians are taking the NCAA route. You obviously, your kids, in fact, take the NCAA route over Canadian hockey as well. You know, what's the grassroots in the U.S. looking like nowadays with the United States Hockey League and everything like that? Is it really developing and blossoming even more than we know?
Well, I mean, we're still the best hockey nation in the world in Canada. We care about it more than anybody else does. And, you know, it's not about winning all the time. It's about the number of people that are playing the game And we're giving so many kids an opportunity to play the game in Canada, and recreational hockey, old-timers hockey, what people are playing now. And it's really special. But, you know, I would never condemn major junior hockey because they do a great job. There's different ways for different players to go, and it's whatever fits the family's need. I don't believe that college coaches should ever condemn major junior hockey, and I don't believe that major junior coaches should condemn college hockey. There's coaches and major juniors say, if you want to be a pro, you got to go the major junior route. Well, take a look at the percentage of guys that make it in major junior hockey ultimately, and to be quite honest with you, it's not very high. And, you know, the numbers in college, we've got, I believe, about 36% of the NHL comes from college hockey now. So you can become an NHL player the college route as well and get an education. But both avenues are great. Major juniors are doing a lot better job of developing their players and academically and everything. So it's just whatever fits the situation. But, you know, we got to stay on our toes. I mean, the Americans, they're emphasizing a skill, fast game, and we still got a few people up in Canada that have the perspective that we have to beat everybody up all the time. And, you know, we got to continue to make sure we emphasize the speed element of the game in Canada. But, you know, we've got the biggest emotional well for the game in the world, and I've always believed that when we have to, Canada can dig deeper than anybody else in that emotional well. And we got to continue to emphasize that, but to also continue to emphasize the skill and speed of the game.
Andy Murray is the head coach of the Western Michigan Broncos of the NCAA. He's a multi-time gold medal winner. He's a former NHL head coach. And most importantly, he's a Manitoban from Souris, Manitoba. Andy, thanks very much for doing this. Much appreciated.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.